Hallelujah. Thank God we got the gift operating in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Accomplished more in those few seconds than we could have an hour standing up here talking. Amen. Praise God. Pastor Ronnie was talking, and as he was talking about, you know, the last days of Noah and stuff, the word remnant. You know why we're referred to as a remnant, right? We're a remnant. Let me read you a definition of it. I looked it up. I'm a definition guy. It says the part of something that is left when the other parts are gone. Amen? So we know about the great falling away from the faith. But praise God, we're here. We're the ones left. We'll be the ones that are left, standing strong for God. Amen? I always think about that. I heard a minister say one time, you know, when you get up before people, don't necessarily focus on, don't look at the empty chairs. You look at the faces, you look at the people that are there. And you focus in on the people that are there. Because the empty chairs are going to remain empty. But you're still here. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So we come up here and we speak to you, to your physical body, to your spirit. So people that are not here in those empty chairs, I guess they're just missing out. Amen? Praise God. God's good. So I guess tonight it's possible this is going to go two or three different directions. Not exactly sure which direction it's going to go, but we're going to go one direction. We'll figure one out. Praise God. So I'm just going to kind of build off what Pastor Ronnie was talking about. You know, he talked about in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, there were giants in the land. Well, it'll be the same as the days of Noah. It's the same today as the days of Noah. We see that. Eating, drinking, giving to marriage. So we see that going on. And when he was talking about the giants, I got to thinking. And this is going to tie into my message tonight. If there's giants out there in the land, do we not need to know how to defend ourselves? Do we not need to know how to create barriers around ourselves, around our families? Amen? God's a God of boundaries. You read all through the Old Testament, and it talks about God established a boundary here. And I know a lot of it is referring to landmarker boundaries, but in the Old Testament, God established boundaries. Amen? So if you will, let me find my notes in the Bible and get them out. Praise the Lord. So if you will, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians 6. I hope everyone's encouraged themselves in the Word this week, or let the Word encourage you. Amen? It's a necessity. It's our medication for the week. Amen? Amen. It's my medication for the week. And if I go without taking my medication, we know the side effects of that. Amen? Some of us need medicate a little more than others. Hallelujah. You in 2 Corinthians? All right. Amen. We're in chapter 6. Look in verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part as a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols?" So, you know, we see opposites in this. "For you are the temple of the living God." That's a good place to say amen. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said. It says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." That sounds like a command to me. Amen? do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen? So when it says come out among, what does that mean? We're in this world but not of this world. We do our daily business in this world. We go out into the world market. We have jobs. We're around the world system all day long. We're around people in the world system, operating in the world system. So when it's saying, you know, separate yourself from that, it's not saying, you know, throw up a barrier to an unbeliever and say, no, I can have absolutely nothing to do with you because I'm a believer and you're an unbeliever. It's not saying, no, don't establish that barrier. But what it's saying is, if that unbeliever comes to you and says, hey, we're going to go downtown tonight, would you like to join us? Well, it depends on what you're going downtown for. You know, if you're going downtown to grab a bite of dinner, sure, I can do that. I can go and be social with you. And if the opportunity arises that you can give some testimony or share some word to them, wonderful. But if they say, hey, you want to go downtown tonight, and they say, hey, we're going to go grab some dinner, and then we're going to go hit the clubs, that's your separation. That's where you say, no, I appreciate the offer, but that's not me. That's not what I do. I'm a child of God. Well, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to Bible beat them right away, but you can just politely decline their offer. So separate yourself from that. And like I said, that's a command. And then it talks about don't be in unequally yoked with a believer and an unbeliever. So we know the separation of that. So let me tell you what boundary is. The boundary is a point or a limit that indicates where two things become different. So I think it's safe to say between a believer and an unbeliever, there is a boundary there because there's something different. Your lives are different, or they should be. Amen? So, to break that boundary with someone, you have to come in common with something. Something has to be in common. So, if you get that unbeliever saved, you have that in common now. Amen? So, now that boundary had been broken. There's a physical boundary and a spiritual boundary. And I got to thinking about that. I guess y'all can tell my whole synopsis here or thoughts of things is boundaries. I got to thinking about natural boundaries that we see in the world. And naturally, I got to thinking about sports. Well, not naturally, but that's just kind of where I went with it. You think about basketball. You have basketball, you have an outer perimeter, right? Football, you have an outer perimeter. Hockey, outer perimeter. Which in hockey it'd be kind of, I guess I can knock the puck over the glass. But either way, so these sporting events take place inside of boundaries. Amen? So inside this boundaries, what happens if the basketball player throws the basketball to another player and he misses and it goes out of bounds? Right? So I was thinking about that. You know, I'm kind of torn. My whole thing is God establishes boundaries for us. But yet, as a child of God, I'm kind of boundaryless. But there's two different boundaries. You can have a good boundaries and you can have bad boundaries. So if you're within God's boundaries that He's placed you in, well, you're in His perfect will. You're doing what He's called you to do. But if for some reason you get out of bounds, you go outside those boundaries, you're in rebellion now. Amen? Does that make sense? Amen. Let's go to, I was just thinking about, you know, when you're bound or when you're out of bounds, you can become bound with something. And that's a place that we don't want to become. We don't want to be bound. Amen? So in Romans 8:1. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Amen? So if we're walking in the Spirit and we're not walking according to the flesh, we're within God's boundaries, so we should be getting blessed by God. Amen? Amen. So let's go to Genesis 2. I was going to get up and just read Chronicles, the prayer of Jabez, and say, praise God, wasn't that good, and you're dismissed. But I don't think I can get off that easy, right? Genesis 2, and we'll look in verse 15. It says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So we know God created the heavens and the earth, and then God created the earth, and he gave it light and day, and then he made man, and then it says that he took man and he placed him in Eden. He placed him in this garden. So God had created a safe place for Adam to dwell. Amen? He placed him in the garden with boundaries around him, and in that garden, Adam could flourish and be blessed of God. And it even says that. He took him and placed him there. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That was Adam's boundary right there. God said you could go this far, Adam, but don't go no further. If you cross that boundary, you're going to die. And when he refers to that, if you look at it, it says, you will die, you will surely die. So it wasn't that he was just going to experience a physical death, which he would, but he also experienced a spiritual death if he broke that boundary that God created with the tree. So, I was thinking, whether we know it or not, we all have boundaries in our life. And like I said, we all either we create good boundaries or we create bad boundaries. And where God wants us to move past those boundaries, we need to be in his will to do that. If we get outside of that boundary, we could be out of his will. Amen? So he placed Adam in the garden and he gave him a boundary. Like I said, this message is kind of two-sided, but I'll eventually get to the other side. But right now we're in God's boundaries. God has created boundaries for man, and we're inside the boundaries of that. Amen? So look at Genesis 3. In verse 22. So we know that when he placed Adam there, he created Eve, and then Eve was tempted by the devil and gave in to the temptation. Well, now that that boundary had been crossed, when we pick up in 22, in Genesis 3:22, this is kind of the consequence of what happened. It says, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed the cherubim at the east garden of Eden and a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. Amen? So now Adam and Eve are outside of the boundaries that God set up for them. God said, you can have everything that I can give you, but just don't partake of this one thing, and you'll stay in the protection of me. But Adam and Eve, they gave way to temptation, and they got outside the protection of God. So God couldn't leave them inside of this safe place. He had to put them out. And he put them out, and that's pretty, you think about it, that's pretty serious. When he put them out, he didn't leave the garden, the gate to the garden wide open for anybody to or them to return back into. He placed an angel there. And that angel, it says that that angel stood there with a zigzagging sword, sure to hit and bring death, and it prevented their return. So what it was they lost, when they put them outside of that garden, what they did, they lost the communion with God unless God initiated it. Where God would come down during the day and walk with Adam and stuff, he didn't realize what a blessing what that was until they were put out of the garden. And now they're outside of the garden. They've lost that personal communion with God. Amen? So if they had stayed in that boundaries God placed on them and gave to them, they could have kept that communion with God. But it all changed. Everything went south. You heard that saying before? Amen? So let's look in Exodus 19. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now we're going to look at Moses and the children of Israel and where they've fled Egypt or they came out of Egypt. And Moses just had this conversation with his father-in-law, and his father-in-law was telling him, you know, look, Moses, you're taking too much on. And I always enjoy that part of Scripture. And he tells Moses, look, you need to deviate some, you need to hand out some of this responsibility, that one man can't carry it all on their own. Amen? I like that part of that chapter. But let's look at 19. That's where we're going. It says, Israel at Mount Sinai. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim. I looked that word up today and listened to the pronunciation. I still think I butchered that. But had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Pam was sharing with me some interesting information she's been learning about eagles and kind of their whole how they pick a mate and stuff. And I thought about that when I was reading that. It says how he bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to himself. Now, therefore, you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. Then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I like to put myself in that scripture. Amen? I like to think that I'm a special treasure to God. And you are too. Amen? And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, Moses is getting this from God. God's telling him this. And Moses is going to carry this back to a people that's been in Egypt for, 400 years? They've been slaves there for 400 years. So he's carrying this back to a culture that don't really know a whole lot about God. And God's telling them, you know, if you'll keep this covenant with me, you'll be my people. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So we know that Moses was God's chosen man. So Moses had a huge responsibility placed on him. So it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go out to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people.'" Now, this is what I want you to get here. It says, "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.'" So I think about that. I think where God established the Garden of Eden and placed Adam and Eve inside his boundaries, and then they fell, and then they were placed outside of the boundaries. And then when it came to the children of Israel, he placed that responsibility on Moses. It says, "You go set these bounds. You go down to the bottom of the mountain. You tell the people where the boundaries are," so that, and the reason that they were doing that was because of the holiness of God. So Moses went down and created the boundaries and set the boundaries for the people. That's kind of, you know, what the priests do, or what preachers do, or pastors do for the sheep. They lead the sheep, and they tell the sheep, "Okay, if you go beyond that tree line, there's a good chance that you're going to get attacked by wolves. But if you'll stay inside this tree line and stay near the shepherd, stay near the boundaries that the shepherd's created for you, you'll be safe." So Moses has created these boundaries. And I think God was pretty serious when he said, you know, whoever touches. And it says, even if they even put an arm or a leg over it, it says, "Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds, long they shall come near the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people and washed their clothes. When you come before the Lord, you better not be dirty. Well, if you are dirty, you can get cleansed. Amen. You need to sanctify yourself. Amen. I'm speaking to myself, speaking to everybody. But when you go before the Lord, cleanse yourself. Sanctify yourself. Amen. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives." Huh. Ain't that funny? In the sanctification, where God established man and woman, and he established that union between them, when it came to sanctifying himself and being holy before God, he tells them to abstain from that. And now you look at what we got going on in the world today. If it takes that to sanctify yourself before God, how dirty and how polluted it is today in the world. "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in camp trembled." If you don't have a personal relationship with God, if you don't know God, you probably would be in fear. "And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, and on top of the mountain, the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through. Okay, and then it goes on to say they were afraid. They didn't even want to be nowhere near at that point because they said, you know, you commanded us to set bounds, and we're not going to break that boundary because if we break that boundary, it's certain death. So they pretty well had that fear in them. And let's look over. Well, before I skip too far away. So we know Moses went up on the mountain. And in chapter 20, it's the Ten Commandments. And when we think about the Ten Commandments, we think about that being a law, right? That's kind of a staple, Christian staple. We abide to obey the Ten Commandments, right? But where I'm talking about barriers and boundaries, is that not kind of a God-written boundary? Is that not like a standard that He put in place? So He gave us the Ten Commandments to abide by. And, you know, you have people that argue the situation, well, we're not under the law no more. Well, what in those Ten Commandments, I mean, I don't really see what in those Ten Commandments that you couldn't abide by. I mean, it's all pretty cut and dry. And I'll just read through them right quick. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, if you're a Christian, you should have no other gods before God. That's pretty plain. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. All right. I've been guilty of that before, unfortunately. Y'all have heard my little Mustang story, right? Where I was placing the car above God. That would become my little carved image. So, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Wow. If you're out in that world, or if you just watch one or two movies, they don't even have to be rated R anymore. They can be PG. We hear the Lord's name being taken in vain everywhere. Thank God I don't hear that very often because I don't put myself in that place to hear that. Amen? But I know it happens. It's all over the place. Don't let it happen around Penny. Penny will give a quick rebuke for that if she hears somebody, and that's good for her. You know, we all should be that blunt and bold about it. But yeah, if somebody's around her and they let that fly, she'll get on pretty quick. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen? We do that here, don't we? It says, honor your father and your mother. That should be pretty basic. You shall not murder. Amen. You shall not murder. But, unfortunately, they've came up with a way of not calling it murder, but they're still breaking that you shall not murder. Amen. How many millions of babies have been killed? You shall not commit adultery. Well, that's the thing to do in the world today. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. All these things here, to me, that's just morally correct. That's my standards, or that's my upbringing, or that's my beliefs, or whatever you want to call it. That's my Christian values. And we should do everything possible to uphold all those commandments. But in the world today, I don't know if people just don't see those commandments being necessary or being relevant or whatever you want to call it. But I think we should get back. I think we should get back to reading these commandments some more, putting these things in people's face a little bit. I mean, we have the Ten Commandments being pulled down and being removed. You know, I thought about this the other day, and I was thinking about this with James Jacob. How easy it is if we remove something from our face, if we remove something from being in front of us and we put it to the side and we don't constantly meditate on it or we don't constantly see it, if it's off to the side, how quickly we forget. And the reason I say James, Jacob, I was thinking about, you know, he sent me some pictures and the videos the other day, and I was thinking, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen those children in an orphanage. And I asked him the other day how they were doing. And at my own fault, I haven't thought about that as much because it hasn't been in front of me. If those pictures and if that conversation had been in front of me, I would have been thinking about it more. So the things that are important to us, the things that are of value to us, we should constantly have them in front of us, meditating on them. And it's like the Ten Commandments. We should have that in front of us, meditating on it. I mean, we shouldn't be able to go to church for years on end and never hear these Ten Commandments read, or never a reference made back to these Ten Commandments. My personal opinion, I guess, something's wrong if you go to a church and you never hear a reference back to the Ten Commandments. Amen. Like I said, maybe just my personal opinion, but that's where I'm coming from. All right, let's look over in verse 18. It says, "Now all the people witnessed the thunderings and the lightning flashes and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, 'You speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we should die.'" So they were good with Moses, but they were afraid of God. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin.'" Amen? So we have people going to church, and they say, "I want to hear the pastor today. Let me hear the words of the pastor, but I don't know that I want to hear God. Let me just hear what the pastor has to say, but I don't know that I'm ready to hear what God has to say." Okay? If you're hearing what the pastor says, you should be hearing what God says. Amen? So if that pastor is a true shepherd of God, when he speaks, he should be speaking the words of God. Amen? So if you're going to church to hear your pastor but not hear God, you might want to check up on that and see exactly why you're going. Amen? And I like that. He did this that he may test them so that they may not know sin, or so you may not sin. Amen? So God created this. Well, God told Moses to create the boundaries at the bottom of this mountain. And it was because of the holiness of God that the people couldn't be as close as Moses was to God. So they had to create these boundaries. And I was thinking about the barriers and boundaries that we have today. A lot of times we'll create our own boundaries. We'll create our own barriers, and that will prevent us from going on with God. Amen? Like I can take something and I can create a boundary out of it, but yet God's calling me past that boundary, but in my own insecurities, in my own fleshly state, I don't want to cross that boundary because I feel safe over here. But if I cross over that boundary into God's will, I'll be doing what He's called me to do. So when we throw those barriers up, or when we throw those boundaries up, sometimes we need to break those down to get to where God's calling us to be. Amen? Amen. All right. So I told you there was a flip side to this, right? I told you that God established boundaries. And in the Old Testament, He did establish the boundaries, because Adam and Eve lost that ability to commune with God in that respect of they could come before God and commune with Him. Through sin, they lost that. Well, here's the flip side of that. Here's the good news. When Jesus came, we gained that back. Amen? So that's where I tell you that I'm kind of torn when I say that God has established boundaries for us, but yet in the New Testament, as Christians, in that reference of boundaries, we really don't have boundaries no more, because Jesus Christ broke that boundary when he came. Amen? And that took me over to Matthew 27. Let's go over there. Is this making sense? All right, good. You'll get something out of it tonight. It ain't for me, but you'll get something out of it tonight. The Holy Spirit will give you something. Matthew 27. When I read this, you know, how many times have we heard when Christ was crucified and when he arose? And when we hear the story on, and I've heard this many times, but I love it when God gives you a revelation or drops something into you, and you know at that point that your spirit man got it, that you didn't just hear it with your natural ears. And it's kind of when I read this, it was like, oh yeah, Christ did do more than just redeem us. Christ did do more than just give us salvation and provide healing for us. Amen? It says, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So when that veil was torn in two, that personal communion between us and God was opened back up. Amen? And I thought about that. I was thinking about the tabernacle that he instructed Moses to build. And, you know, you had the inner court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. So, back to the boundary thing again. God, in his tabernacle, he established walls. He established a boundary. And inside of that, there was a level upon level upon level. And I thought about that today, you know. It's kind of... today, where we're at, I was thinking about the church here. You know, it says that we are the temple of God, but we come into this house to praise him and to worship him. And when you come into this house, the way this church is set up, it's kind of set up that there's a outer court, or an inner court, and a holy place, and a holy of holies. Amen? But that's God. That's the way God set it up. That's the way he designed it. Amen? So, I was outside today just kind of walking around and meditating, and I was thinking about the tabernacle, and I was looking at the building, and I had all that on my mind. And then I looked over at the fence, and I thought, you know, we have a perimeter around the church now, and it was a well-needed perimeter. And I, kind of in my own comical mind, I was thinking, well, you know, God didn't come down to Mount Pisgah and tell Pastor Ronnie to set bounds around this church as a wall of protection around this church and instruct him that way. But yet he did instruct in a way of protect the house of God. We set a boundary around the church with that fence in minds of protecting the house of God. Amen? So when we set those barriers up, with some of it's just common sense, that we set barriers up in our life for protection of our family. And I was thinking about this also with our kids. As parents, we set boundaries and barriers up for our kids until they become of age that they can set their own up. And it's our responsibility to keep them in that boundary and in that protection until they can go out and establish their own. Amen? So, back to the veil being broke. Praise God that that happened, that opened back up and we had the communion with God again. Um, back over in 1 Corinthians 3. Says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Amen? We are the temple of God. And verse 17 says, and if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So that's telling me that we're a holy people. Amen? And if it takes us creating boundaries and barriers in our life for us to be holy, so be it. Amen? When 2 Corinthians, where it talks about separating yourself, know your boundaries. We have to know where our boundaries are when dealing with people. We have to know where our boundaries are when we're in our jobs and when we're out in the world. Know where that barrier is. Know where that boundary is. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I was just thinking, God's good. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Huh. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was just thinking, when I was in the world and when I was backslidden or when I was in sin, I didn't really have boundaries. I didn't really know where to stop. I was just kind of was given over to my flesh and was going crazy. Well, not crazy, but you know, there was no rules, no laws. And without that standard, without God being established in our life, we're a lawless people. And God has set up laws, and He has set up things for us to abide by. And He gives us a choice. We have that choice, whether we're going to abide in that or if we're going to abide outside of that. And like I said, when I stand up here, I speak to myself just as much as I speak to you. So you have to make that choice. Are we going to abide where God's placed us, or are we going to try to do it outside of God? Are we going to try to do it ourselves? Amen? I don't want to be caught in that place of where I'm trying to do it myself. And I know when it talks about the trumpet, I know when that trumpet sounds, if we're not on the right side of that boundary that God's placed for us, we're going to get left. You'll get left behind. So we need to make sure we're operating and we're functioning where God has placed us, where He wants us, and where He's called us to be. Amen? Amen. You know, that the whole barrier and boundary thing, it can go several different directions. Because it messes with your values. Like it can affect your personal values. It can affect your traditional values. And then when it gets right down to it, it affects your core values. And when it starts affecting your core values, that's when it's affecting your spirit man. So, to me, some things need to be dealt with before it gets that far. Amen? So, I'm encouraging myself and I'm encouraging you. Deal with it before it gets that far. Deal with it before you become bound in it. Amen? Being bound, we don't want to be bound. Amen? We want to be free. Because Christ came to give us that freedom. Amen? And I want to operate and function in that freedom that Christ has given me. Amen? Praise God. Well, God's good. Going to be a short night tonight. I hope y'all got something out of that. It's amazing, you know, you spend so much time studying and preparing and praying, and then sometimes you can speak it in 5 minutes. Pam knows what I'm saying. Praise God. Well, God's good, and I thank y'all for being a part of this body, and I thank y'all for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I thank you for letting me be obedient to God. I thank God for His Word, and I thank God for what He's doing in this house. Amen? Praise God. God's got so many good things in store for us. And I'll admit, sometimes I get a little antsy. Y'all know what that means? Antsy. Sometimes I get excited thinking about what God's going to do, and I'm like, well, God, go ahead and do it. Let's see some of these things happening now. I want to see some of these miracles happen. I want to see some of these things going on. But it's all in God's timing. It's all in God's preparation. Amen? And we just have to be patient, and we just have to walk it out and be obedient. Amen? Praise God. Well, y'all can stand up with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you for increasing this house. Father, I thank you for increasing this house with wisdom and knowledge. Father, we ask for your favor to be upon these people. Father, I thank you for your favor, and I thank you for man's favor. Father, we thank you for your healing power. And Father, I just pray for those people that are not here tonight. Father, if some of them are sick, if some of them have some healing they need in their body, Father, I just speak that healing. Father, by your stripes they are healed. Father, you heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. I ask you bless the people with a good night. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All this.